Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Pamela Paul, who, along with her co-author Maria Russo, is out with a new book, How to Raise a Reader, Fostering a Lifelong Love of Books from Birth to Teens. Pamela is the editor of the New York Times Book Review, and Maria Russo is also the children's book editor there at the Times Book Review. Pamela, when it comes to reading to children, what's the biggest roadblock to kids getting off on the right foot? Is it parents' reluctance to read, or is it the children's reluctance to be involved in reading?
It can be both, you know, and it also really depends on the age of the child. One of the things that we emphasize in the book is that reading can begin at any age. It's never too late to become a reader. There are many famous authors that didn't start to really read themselves for fun until they were teenagers. And it's never too early. You can start when you have a baby. And, you know, a parent might feel silly taking like a four-month-old and propping him on their lap and reading aloud when they know very well that baby doesn't understand a single word. But the truth is that you are having an emotional connection with your baby when you're doing that. There's a physical proximity. You're reading aloud, and reading aloud is, you know, we don't read the same way that we talk normally. So if you're reading aloud, you're saying, you know, good night, moon, good night, room, good night, you know, and it's a kind of cadence that your child gets to know, and they're feeling that in a very positive way, that you're enjoying it as a parent, that becomes something that's pleasurable, and it becomes a ritual, and it becomes a habit. And so much of what makes a reader is about building those kinds of habits. You know, video games are a habit, phones are a habit, everything that we do with a leisure time is a habit, and it's also a choice. And so you need to make it positive so that kids want to do it, and you need to create a habit from it from the very early age, so that it's something that they're familiar with and something that they know and they've experienced and they've had positive feelings about it.
For the proper reading situation to happen with a youngster, maybe even younger than a toddler, is that proximity that important when you're able to, when you're touching your child, when you're holding your child, as opposed to sitting across maybe from two chairs or across a high chair or something? What does the proximity add to the experience?
Well, you know, it's all good. So if your baby is like eating their, you know, and finger food, and you're sort of, what do I do with this time? And you could prop up a book and read aloud to the baby. Again, it kind of depends on, you want the baby to be sort of not too focused on the food and able to enjoy it. But anytime you have physical contact, it's great. And also, as babies, as really, you know, young children and toddlers begin to have fine motor skills, reading a physical book is really helpful. They can, you know, with a board book, start to turn the pages. They can, many early books for the youngest readers are cloth books. They're textured. They have flaps. And those are really important for getting kids started on books because, you know, babies, like, once they get to move, and toddlers, they want to move. They want to flip things. They want to touch it. And they also like to be part of the process. They like to be in control. So it's good to let them set the pace by turning the pages. It's good to let them touch the book and feel it. And all of that, you know, reading is sort of a full-body experience. So getting all the senses in there is important.
My brother has a toddler, and then he has a first grader, and when he reads to them, it is at night. And I always thought about that it's just kind of weird to me. I don't have children, so I guess I can't really judge, but it seems weird to just read at night. Is there something magical about reading at night other than the soothingness of it, or is there something to be gained by reading during the day?
Well, there's good things to both. So I would say reading at night is fantastic. It's a really good way for a kid to wind down. In my family, we all read before bedtime. My kids will be really annoyed if they don't have a little bit of quiet reading time before bedtime. It's a really good way for a child to kind of retreat into his own space and to sort of, you know, step away from the world and to calm down. And again, if you've built that habit from a very early age that, like, reading is something we do before we go to sleep, then it's become something that they want to do, maybe even need to do before they themselves go to sleep when they're older and they have a choice of what to do right before bedtime. But I would say that it's good to read to your child at any time of the day and for you to start to put that into your process from an early age so that when you're leaving to run errands, you tuck a couple of board books into your bag so that if you get stuck on a line, if you get stuck waiting, if you're in traffic and your kid is in the back seat, rather than, you know, turning on a TV show for them to watch or handing them a device, you can pass them a board book. A board book is really great because kids can't eat it, they can't tear it up, and they can go through it themselves. And if it's a story that your child has heard you read to them aloud many times, the child knows that story, and he can, quote-unquote, read it to himself, even if he's only 2 or 3 or 4 and actually can't read, because he can remember you're telling him the story, and he sees those pictures, and he can look through them. You know, so you can grab books also that are largely visual, that are fact books or photography books for very young children so that they can look at themselves. And this teaches them that reading is a way to entertain yourself. Reading is something that you can do when you don't have anything else to do. And we all know how often kids complain about being bored. I think that today it's become a kind of fallback, very easy solution. It's very tempting. You know, I cannot blame parents for resorting to it. But to give your child a screen or a gadget or a device to play with rather than a book. And that's something I think that parents can pretty easily change.
I always think it's kind of funny looking back on my own life that the first books I really remember reading are Encyclopedia Brown and The Hardy Boys, those types of things. So I must have been 8, 9, 10 years old at that point, at least. I don't remember my parents reading to me, but I'm sure that they did. So is there a cognizant memory thing going on with children that they're going to remember this? Or is this just as simple as teaching them potty training? I mean, it's just it reinforces a habit more than anything as far as remembering specific memories.
Yeah, some kids don't remember being read aloud to. I wasn't read aloud to very much when I was a child. And again, it didn't affect me. I obviously became a reader, so this is, I hope, reassuring to parents who are like, uh-oh, my kid is already 7 and I really haven't been doing this. It's not too late. But what's interesting about the books that you gravitated towards, The Hardy Boys and Encyclopedia Brown, which are both around and still popular, is those are great books for kids because series are really important. You know, as a parent, you might think, oh my God, my child has read 50 Magic Tree Houses or Rainbow Fairies, and like, why do they keep reading the same kind of story over and over again? They do it because that is really emotionally and cognitively beneficial for kids. Kids like the familiarity of the storyline. Kids like the characters that they get to know. They become a part of the child's social life in a way, part of their emotional life. And you know, those books are targeted so that they're very similar. And if that's the child's sweet spot, it becomes very comforting and easy for them to read. And again, it builds that habit, right? Kids also are huge collectors. You know, any kid who collected baseball cards knows this. And so if your kid gets into a series and they want to own all the books, you know, that's a great thing because it's really important for kids to feel like these books are mine, you know. And while that can seem like it's very expensive because most series are really popular, you can find a lot of them used and you can find them, you know, at library sales and at book sales. Some parents are really eager to finally unload a huge series once their child is done with them.
What's the right age to introduce the classics to the kids, Robinson Crusoe, Tom Sawyer, those type?
You know, there's no, I would say, right age, but I think that one of the great things about those kinds of classics, Little House on the Prairie, you know, Stuart Little, those are great read-alouds. So when you're thinking about your child and reading, and they're in those ages where, you know, they're maybe beginning to read themselves, but certainly not reading, you know, Treasure Island or Robinson Crusoe or The Hobbit, that's a time when you can think about there are three different kinds of books, right? They're the books that they can look at themselves where they're just beginning to read and that that can help them start to read independently. That's one category. The second category is books that story picture books where the language is too sophisticated for them to read themselves, but they really enjoy the story, they really enjoy the pictures, and you can read them aloud. And then there are books that largely don't have pictures, right? But you can also read those aloud to your child from a very young age. So there were books when my oldest child, who was a girl, was little, that I read to her, you know, when she was in kindergarten, first grade, the beginning Betsy Tacy books, The Little House on the Prairie, The Chronicles of Narnia. She would never have been able to sit down and read those by herself. And there aren't really pictures. But reading those aloud at that age is perfect. And one of the wonderful things, too, is that it lets your child ask questions, right? You can have conversations about the things that they don't understand. So rather than wait for the child to be old enough to read those books on their own, you can start them well before they can read them, you know, and with their own ability to read.
All right. She's Pamela Paul, the editor of the New York Times Book Review. Check out her work every Sunday and check out her new book, How to Raise a Reader. It's fostering a lifelong love of books from birth to teens. She co-wrote it with Maria Russo. Pamela, thanks for joining us to talk about this wonderful, wonderful book.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
Teach your children well. Their fathers have